Hello, everyone. Welcome to our podcast. Calliope Awards for 2016 were presented on Wednesday, April 27th. I'm Shirley Noon from Nova Annandale. Calliope is a Greek name, the muse who inspires eloquence and poetry. A calliope is a musical instrument, a steam organ. You hear it on a carousel. And it's a species of hummingbird. Finally, Calliope is the student journal of art and literature, published every spring at Northern Virginia Community College, Annandale. It is a collaboration of the Departments of English and Liberal Arts under sponsorship of the Division of Languages and Literature. We are presenting the works of remarkable, talented people. Get ready to be inspired. Here they are. Winners in the category of fiction. Third prize, Alexander Tsapos, Tick Tock.
I'm going to read you the final part, actually, the final paragraph. Okay, so it goes like this. Tick-tock, tick-tock, the clock is ticking. And just like every other dream or nightmare, it always comes to an end. If it never ends, you never wake up for the new beginning. I hear the ticking, tick-tock, tick-tock. The meter reads 40. I can see the end of my path, silently waiting, slowly approaching. Every second counts. The clock is ticking, and it's getting closer to its end. But now I know. I can finally see, as I was blinded. It was all just a ride, and the ride went up and down, round and round. It had thrills and chills, and it was very brightly colored, and it was very loud and fun for a while. But just like every other, but just like every moment, it always comes to an end. The circle must always be completed, and so it is. The unexpected virtue of the clock is always in motion. And just like every other dream and nightmare, it always comes to an end. That's it. I'm sorry if it's too depressing, okay? That's how it is.
Second prize, Christopher Miller, A Party to Die For.
My name's Chris, and I wrote A Party to Die For. It's kind of macabre, I guess. I write mostly like the Fatal Attraction type of stuff. I like this weird intensity that you can feel with just like connecting eyes with someone that you've never met before, that sort of picture you get in their head of what their life is like. It just comes at you like a flash, but it's just weirdly intense, at least for me. I don't know if you guys feel it. So I don't want to ruin the ending. It's maybe whet your appetites a bit. I'll read a part of it, maybe the first page. Okay. He sat in the bathroom, scrubbing at his arm in frustration, trying to remove the rather sloppy phallic image emblazoned on his arm in black marker. The light bounded off the whitewashed walls, practically burning his eyes. The noise wasn't helping either. The loud music echoed through the house, and shouting punctuated the driving bass rhythms, resulting in a throbbing pain in his forehead. He only blacked out for a second, but they pounced on him mercilessly. Jay threw the bar of soap on the ground in frustration and let out a sharp exhale. The drawing had faded a little, but that might have just been because his skin was burning red from the frivolous scrubbing. His hair was a matted black mess that he combed his fingers through to get the long locks back into place. At least they didn't write on his face. He thought he'd kill someone if they messed up his makeup. It took him almost an hour to get that fine black outline from the eyeliner he stole out of his mother's purse. Jay sat on the edge of the bathtub for a moment to get his bearings as the room was still moving. A hint of nausea presented itself in the pit of his stomach, but it wasn't so bad yet because he was still a little buzzed. A heavy banging sounded at the door and subsequently his head. He inhaled sharply and struggled towards the door while cradling his head in his hand. What? He shouted as he glared at the guy standing in the doorway. You done in there yet? The man spat back. Jay dropped his shoulder and shoved him out of the way, proceeding down the narrow hallway, which was small enough without all the people crowding it. Eventually, he emerged in the living room. In all honesty, it was quite a pretty little space. It was painted a light blue with a fancy white trim and all sorts of paintings and family photos of proud parents with happy children. The home belonged to Amelia Winter. She was probably out mingling with the guests and playing hostess. The girl was fairly new on the scene and didn't exactly understand how to be punk. But her parents were in the middle of a nasty divorce, or at least that's the rumor. And she had taken the opportunity to try her hand at being the stereotypical bad girl. Most of the punks just laughed at her and called her Cupcake because she was so soft and sweet. Jay thought it was a fairly clever joke, and would often chuckle about it in the right company, but never in front of her. The horrible truth was that he had a thing for her. Jay had always had something of a crush on Amelia, but he was never brave enough to tell her. It was the only reason he was even at the party right now, suffering the company of these inconsiderate jerks. He had changed so much over the years, though. He thought back to the first day he saw her, the first day of kindergarten. She was small with a pink summer dress patterned with yellow flowers. Her blonde hair cascaded in a tight braid all the way down her back with a large pink bow sitting contently at the tail. That day was immortalized in a frame on the wall in front of him, but of course that was a very long time ago. Then, as if on cue, she entered the living room via the back door, looking exhausted and in terribly desperate need of a drink. So I'll leave the rest up to you. Thank you very much.
Don't forget that.
Thank you, Christopher.
Okay, and now we'll hear from Jason. I have it.
Oh, thank you. Okay, I'll be reading one line. It's not a great line, but I'm going to read it. It's actually pretty simple. I should know this. I wouldn't be insane if I were an insane lunatic. Only regular lunatics are insane. Thank you.
First prize, Jason Lee. Second, Intelligent World.
Okay, I'll be reading one line. It's not a great line, but I'm going to read it. It's actually pretty simple, I should know this. No. I wouldn't be insane if I were an insane lunatic. Only regular lunatics are insane. Thank you.
Winners in the category of poetry. Third prize, Jessica Briggs, Syria's Widow.
Hi guys, it's an honor to be here. My poem's about Syria, and it just came from the heart of the Syrian refugee crisis, and I actually read about this story. It's a true story, and I read about it in Humans of New York. So he did a whole series on the Syrian refugees. So I actually went to the Middle East for the first time this past month, and I was in Istanbul at the airport, and I was about to come home, and I was like, Wi-Fi, because I hadn't had Wi-Fi for about a week. And so I pulled up Wi-Fi, and I got the email that said that I got third place. And I just remember being so surprised, because this was something that, even though I feel like a lot of my heart is in this poem, I didn't feel like it was ready. I didn't feel like it was good enough. And I'd posted it literally like 10 minutes before deadline. So I feel like if I can do it, you guys can do it. You should hopefully be inspired to continue to write and continue to push past failure. So I just wanted to thank my teacher, Adam Childs. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him, and for family and friends who continue to push me to write. And the last thing I just wanted to say before I read my poem is that you guys are loved, and that your story and who you are has infinite value. So I'm going to read one story of a woman from Syria. When the uprisings come, I stay on the back porch at night, watching all the light in our city come out. I peer through my black hijab, carrying so many bags under my eyes, searching. My fingers stretch to heaven and touch the floor, a prayer I hold. These nights brush cold air waves around me. but you come home. You are tired, yet never forget to greet me with a kiss. When it touches my lips, peace is spoken to all that's shaking inside. The bags under my eyes lift. What we carry on our backs, our hands and eyes from our country is heavy and few. You have become my Syria, and I will never leave you. We work all our time building a house with coins in a country not home. We sell all we hold for the journey to follow freedom. I remember a boat, how over 100 of us were packed inside. I saw money then provide, no compensation or promise. The smuggler's eyes stared at our pockets, our hands, missing our hearts, individual. I remember a boat. It hit a rock, and the screams, they were the only thing the water let in. We were so tight. But you never let me go, giving my body the last warmth of an embrace. My greatest fear used to be of drowning, of getting bloated, arms with fingers stretching, all swollen up. I never learned to swim well, but you could swim an ocean if it meant you'd reach me. You were strong enough to pull me through that boat's window and stay our love breathing. Then what you did next, I will always regret. You gave your life vest to another. Those hours will never be longer, the hours we swam together in the water. You got tired. You laid on your back. The waves came reaching and broke our hands. My voice is still hoarse from screaming at the tempest to bring you back. I would never leave you. A boat finds me, but not my love. You were my Syria, and I lost you.
Second prize, Alexandra Nava Ruiz Tego, Medicating. First prize also goes to Alexandra Nava Ruiz Tego, An Individual's Spectrum.
So I have two. I'm going to start with Medicating. Sometimes I line them up like a rainbow. Each little pill arcing across the nightstand, a multicolored cocktail of mind-altering drugs, prescribed to enable me to be more myself. At a party, I marvel at the mess of the bar. Spirits of all sorts, heights, colors, flavors, pick your poison. I watch them get drunk and wonder, are they more themselves now too? So this other one is called An Individual Spectrum. You may as well be light, not the light of a 40-watt to dull and dim, trying vainly to pierce the shadows of a dusty, litter-strewn room, but sunlight playing off the gurgling ripples of a river, the light that bakes the children brown as they play in its summer rays. The magic given to vegetables in the garden leaves transforming light to grow, to ripen, to sweeten the strawberries. The dappled light of a forest produced by treetops undulating in the breeze, green eventually fading, then falling, their crimson symphony dying away. Still you remain, thin light now. The silent winter sun, half hidden by clouds, casting the world in shades of white and gray. Everything surreal and haunting, like the moon reflecting in your eyes, while thoughts frigid as winter and quick as the speed of, I forget, play through your mind, tattling on you, shifting, revealing the truth. You blink and I trip in the darkness, falling into the cold and land hard, lost. Thank you.
The Calliope Committee is grateful to so many people at Nova Annandale, staff, faculty, and students, for their generous support and creativity. Robert Brown of Nova's Web Services and Digital Media served as technical editor of this podcast. Nova, we are partners in your success. See you next year. For Calliope, I'm Shirley Noon.